When I was smaller and younger, I used to love to play with Legos. I liked building houses. I liked building trucks and cars and forts, even like trees and swimming pools, just dioramas of all kinds. Now, who used to like to play with Legos? Anyone? Yeah? Used to like to play? All right, I have a confession to make. I just did not tell the complete truth there. It's true that I used to love to make all those things with Legos, and I still love to play with Legos. I didn't say that part. This week, I made a Lego truck. What do you think? I like this Lego truck. As a matter of fact, I'm going to let you, I'm not going to pass it around because then you won't pay attention to the sermon. You'll be like, ooh, be driving it along there. But I'll leave it there and then I'll remember to bring, oh look, it even opens like the hood opens up. See, isn't that cool? I'm going to take it downstairs and you can play with it on your tables. And some of you will even make truck noises, right? You're like, who has a truck voice? Come on. Or a car voice. You all had a truck or a car voice, didn't you? Come on, you've all made it, and you feel embarrassed to do. Oh, look at you have it. I want to hear everyone in like one choir make your car, truck, motorcycle, whatever voice. If you ever have a matchbox or a Lego truck, ready? Here we go. I'm going to do it too. Here we go. Go. Yeah, I had one with matchboxes when I was a kid, and my mom makes fun of me for it. It's probably why she still calls me Kirky. But that sound was, I can't even do it anymore. Can't do it anymore. Can you do that one with the lips that go? You can't do that. There, I had it. I had it. I used to do that all the time. That was my friend. His voice was, he had like a race car voice, and I still like Legos, and it's really, that's my Lego voice now for Lego trucks. So you can play with that later. I will bring it down for hospitality time, so have a muffin and play with a truck, okay? Got it? Please don't break the truck. It's not glued together or anything like that. I had fun making this. It didn't take a long time, but making a Lego project, it's like creating anything is fun. It's refreshing. It's energizing. It's wonderful when you have a project that you put together. I know Legos aren't the only projects, but they're pretty quick to get something done. Although you see people make these Lego projects that take years and years to make. And here's, you know, a whole cathedral made out of Legos. And then they do Lego animations where they have Lego people doing stuff. So it takes a long time. But the creative process, Legos, I think, helps the creative process. But then if this got broken, like if somebody had it and just decided to crush it and everything, that, you know, the destructive process, seeing something that you create destroyed or devastated is awful. I mean, it hurts when you see that. It's painful. It's frustrating to see that happen. And then while looking ahead, like let's say that this Lego truck was destroyed, while looking ahead, maybe still remembering that you're upset about that, a recreative hope. Like if this was taken apart, we could put it back together. Sometimes pain and destruction, there is a recreative hope in there. And that's a good thing too. So creation is great. Destruction is painful. But a recreative hope is something that needs to come after a time of pain and frustration. This week's Bible reading explains that for the people who were in exile. It's Isaiah 65, and it expresses this recreative hope in the midst of pain and anguish over destruction. The people there were in exile. They didn't have places to go. They'd been kicked out of their homes. They didn't have property anymore. And it says, hey, there's a time coming, and it's going to be good. There's something coming. So live in hope for what is coming. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. That's God's word. And before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. There's hope in both of those words. Be glad in what I'm creating. And I'm going to be listening. Before you even say anything, I'm going to be listening. See, God is still creating. It's happening now. God didn't stop. God is still speaking. We've heard that. We heard in the children's sermon say that God is still listening to, creating, speaking, listening. And you know what? We are, as followers of Christ, as God's people, really all of humanity, but we are part of what God is doing. God has created us and doesn't want us to just sit around and do nothing. And I know that God can get stuff done with or without us, but it's much better to be the with us part. See, we're inspired by God, and then we're like co-creators. It's not that we have God's creative ability to do the stuff that God does. We are not God, but we are co-creators by God's design. We build. We bring ideas to fruition. We make babies, right? We work together for a better church. We work together for a better community. We work together for a better nation. We work together for a better world. We speak out for justice. We speak with kindness and gentleness to one another. We speak with passion to the issues before us every day. We speak to the challenges that are before us in our families, our congregation, our community, our nation, and our world. Well, or at least that's how we're supposed to do it, right? We don't always do it right, but in this recreative hope, this is what we strive for. This is what it's supposed to be. And we listen. We listen for God's voice, of course. We listen for God's guidance. We listen to each other. We listen to viewpoints that aren't ours. We listen so that we can hear how we can find ways to best follow God together. How we can best follow God's ways in our families, in our church, in our community, our nation, and the world. This is part of that recreative hope that God gives us. See, God calls for rejoicing. God calls for building. God calls for planting, working, family raising, and cooperation for the greater good. That's the message of Isaiah. And it's a message not to people who everything is going fine for and are just arguing. That's really, it's kind of us. You know, we have huge problems, but the people living in exile, they had nothing. And God's calling them to rejoice and build and plant and work and raise families and cooperate for the greater good. How much easier should it be for a people who are relatively comfortable? You know, and I know that there's such a scale of what's okay and what's not, and who has enough and who doesn't, and it's all in our perception too. But how much more than a people living in exile with nothing can we rejoice and build and plant and work and raise families and cooperate for the greater good? They shall not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain. They shall not hurt or destroy. That's right at the end of the reading today. It's easy to lash out when we're angry. It is. It's easy to say to a turtle, stop it, right? Because it's annoying. It's easy to think that maybe God wants to do that too, but to lash out, to belittle, to attack other viewpoints, to decide that it's more important to push another down than to raise all up is contrary to God's call. Really, it's in Isaiah to rejoice, to build, to plant, to work, to friend raise, to family raise, to cooperate for the greater good. But this is a running theme in the Bible. That whole God creates and we mess up and God creates again. It's a call to do these things for the greater good because God wants us to do that. So when we instead lash out, when we misbehave, when we talk down, when we try to find ways to make someone look bad rather than to help all be good and do well, it's contrary to God's call. I don't want to make out that everything's always going to be fine because it's not. We're going to have difficult times. In sadness, we mourn. And we have sadness. And so we mourn. At injustice, we are angry. There is injustice, and we are called to respond to that. And we're angry when we see people mistreated, when we see people who are being put down instead of finding ways to help. Too often we feel hopeless. It's easy to feel hopeless. Yet God calls us still to continue to live in hope. This is God's call, to live in hope in the midst of hopelessness, to find ways to hope. Maybe in the hopelessness, your hope is not for exactly the way it was or exactly what's going on. But there still is hope that God is still speaking. God is still listening, right? M. Scott Peck, the writer. I like to do quotes from M. Scott Peck because he has these things that just make such perfect sense. He wrote The Road Less Traveled and several other books. But here's what he said. The truth is that our finest moments are most likely to occur when we are feeling deeply uncomfortable, unhappy, or unfulfilled. For it is only in such moments, propelled by our discomfort, that we are likely to step out of our ruts and start searching for different ways or truer answers. I don't want to take every time something goes bad and say that that's an opportunity to look for something better, because bad is just bad and awful is just awful and mourning is real and sadness is real and pain is real. But I think there comes a time, I don't know when it is sometimes for people, but there always is a way to seek for truer answers, to search for different ways, to live with this recreative hope. And we seek those answers. We look to that hope because we trust that God is with us on the journey, always. Because it's true, God is still listening, always, no matter what, no matter how long the turtle is holding out the note. God is still speaking, and we're called to listen. And God is still creating. So let's pray. God, there are many blessings in our lives, and there is pain and anguish as well. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you still listen. Help us to live with hope. Help us to work for you, with you. Help us to remember that you are still creating. In Jesus' name, amen.